Week 9, Day 1. Today's scripture reading is 1 Kings 17. Now Elijah the Tishbite of Tishbe in Gilead said to Ahab, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, before whom I stand, there shall be neither dew nor rain these years, except by my word." And the word of the Lord God came to him, "Depart from here and turn eastward and hide yourself by the brook of Cherith, which is the east side of the Jordan. You shall drink from the brook. I have commanded the ravens to feed you there." So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. He went and lived by the brook of Cherith that is east of the Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening. And he drank from the brook. And after a while, the brook dried up because there was no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, "Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to feed you." So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, "Bring me a little water in a vessel that I may drink." And as she was going to bring it, he called to her and said, "Bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." She said to him, "As the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. And now I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." And Elijah said to her, "Do not fear, go and do as you have said, but first make a little cake of it and bring it to me, and afterward make something for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of flour shall not be spent, the jug of oil shall not be empty, until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth." And she went and did as Elijah said, and she and he and her household ate for many days. The jar of flour was not spent, neither did the jug of oil become empty, according to the word of the Lord that he spoke by Elijah. After this, the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, became ill. And his illness was so severe that there was no breath left in him. And she said to Elijah, "What have you against me, O man of God? You have come to me to bring my sin to remembrance and to cause the death of my son." And he said to her, "Give me your son." And he took him from her arms and carried him up into the upper chamber where he lodged and laid him on his own bed. And he cried to the Lord, "O Lord, my God, have you brought calamity even upon the widow with whom I sojourn by killing her son?" Then he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried to the Lord, "O Lord, my God, let this child's life come into him again." And the Lord listened to the voice of Elijah, and the life of the child came into him again, and he was revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down upon the upper chamber into the house and delivered him to his mother. And Elijah said, "See, your son lives." And the woman said to Elijah, "Now I know that you are a man of God and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is truth." Uncharted Territory by A.J. Hoffman. And just like that, in verse 1, boom, Elijah the Tishbite, one of the most influential figures in the Bible, enters into its hallowed pages. This is the man who will call fire down from heaven, ascend to heaven in a chariot, and stand beside Jesus at the Mount of Transfiguration. But in the beginning, before he knew any of what would become of his story, he was simply a messenger from God bearing bad news for a wicked king of Israel. Which brings us to Ahab. Everything that Elijah is, Ahab is not. Go back and read verse 16 and verses 30 through 33. It says things like, "Ahab did more to provoke the Lord to anger than all the kings of Israel before him." While Elijah was anointed and obedient, Ahab was hellish and rebellious. Elijah was courageous, Ahab was passive, giving his responsibility over to his pagan wife, Jezebel. More on her later. Now that we have our bearings, let's zoom back into chapter 17 and take a closer look. Verse 18 always gets me. After Elijah gives the bad news to Ahab, he flees to Zarephath, where he meets a widow. Remember, the whole region is without water, and everywhere people are dying and starving to death. This is the context in which Elijah asks the widow for some water and food. She almost laughs at him. "Are you serious?" she says to him. "I have almost nothing, and you want to take it?" But the Lord does a miraculous thing. She trusts in Elijah and gives away all she has left. only to discover that God gives her an unlimited supply of oil and flour. Think Olive Garden, unlimited soup and salad, but better. It solved all of her problems, right? Or did it? Quickly, after, her son dies from illness, plunging her into confusion. Why did God save her from starvation only to allow her son to die quickly after? Which brings us back to verse 18. She says to Elijah, "Why have you come to bring my sin to remembrance?" She felt as if she had been punished, that God was out to get her for her past mistakes. But what she thought was punishment was actually God's provision. Despite the miracle with flour and oil, she had yet to be delivered from the biggest problem, her sin. Read verse 24. She says, "Now I know." It wasn't until after the death of her son that she dealt with the sin in her heart. Have you ever asked God, "What in the world are you doing? How could this possibly factor into your plan for me?" Like the widow, could God be using this pain, suffering, and tension in your life for your ultimate good? Or do you only trust him when it makes sense to you? Like the widow's sin, is there something deeper that God could be trying to do in your life, even when it leaves you utterly lost and confused? Question one, what does trusting in the Lord with all your heart and leaning not on your own understanding look like for you? When was a season or situation in the past that you had to trust without knowing the full picture? Question two, what is the significance of Elijah stretching himself over the body of the boy three times? Does it remind you of anything? What does this say about God's sovereign plan? Pay attention to the themes of three and the rest of Elijah's story. Question three. C.S. Lewis says, pain is God's megaphone to a deaf and dying world. How has God used pain in your past to get your attention? Daily prayer. God, I trust you even when it hurts, even when I don't understand. Instill in me a peace that goes past understanding. Help me see where you are trying to get my attention.